Romans 9:16-21. Who are you to talk back to God? Why did you make me like this? Imagine going into the most famous art museum in the world. There are paintings, sculptures, and priceless works of art in every room. The artists are standing in front of their masterpieces. Then something very strange happens. The paintings, the sculptures, and every piece of art begin to complain and shout at their creators, "Why did you make me like this?" This would be very strange indeed. Later in this passage, Paul uses the illustration of clay in the hands of a potter. He said that it would be ridiculous for a lump of clay to say to the potter, "Why did you make me like this?" This thinking and attitude makes it very difficult to understand the ways of God or to trust Him. Let's pray and prepare our hearts to hear the word of the Lord today. Father, open the eyes of our hearts and minds to understand your word. Teach us and speak to us by your Spirit today, and may the glory of Christ be revealed through the sharing of his word. Let's continue our study by looking first at Romans chapter 9, verses 16 through 18. So then, it does not depend on man's desire or effort, but on God's mercy. Verse 17, for the scripture says to Pharaoh, "I raised you up for this very purpose, that I might display my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth." Therefore, God has mercy on whom he wants to have mercy, and he hardens whom he wants to harden. The meditation question for these verses is, how was God's power and glory displayed to the whole world through Pharaoh? Did Pharaoh deserve God's mercy? Do we? Explain your answers. Paul stated in verse 16, it does not depend on man's effort, but on God's mercy. He used Pharaoh to illustrate what he meant. God raised up Pharaoh to display his power and glory, not by showing Pharaoh his mercy, but by hardening him. Verse 18 says, therefore God has mercy on whom he wants to have mercy, and he hardens whom he wants to harden. This is another verse that often troubles people. It is important to understand that apart from God's mercy, we would all be like Pharaoh. We would resist God and disobey his will. God is not obligated to show mercy to us, to Pharaoh, or to anyone. If, for example, I broke into someone's house and stole their expensive possessions, according to the law, I must be punished. It would be presumptuous of me to expect the owner of the house to have mercy on me and to let me go. Many people, however, assume that they deserve God's mercy, but we do not. Neither did Pharaoh. God knew the pride and arrogance of Pharaoh's heart. God did not tempt or cause Pharaoh to sin, but allowed Pharaoh to be himself and to pursue his own evil desires. Pharaoh had no intention of pleasing God or obeying his will. He was bent on disobeying God and holding on to his own power. God could have killed Pharaoh and delivered Israel in one day, but he chose to demonstrate his power through Pharaoh's resistance over many months. I think about 18 months. Through each of the 10 plagues, God displayed his power over Pharaoh and his gods. Today, billions of people around the world know about God's power and glory through this story. God did not tempt Pharaoh to sin or to do evil. However, God hardened Pharaoh's heart by allowing him to continue in his hardness and resistance, which resulted in God's name being proclaimed throughout the whole world. Paul concludes in verse 18 that God has mercy on whom he wants to have mercy and hardens whom he wants to harden. Paul explains throughout Romans chapters 9 through 11 that God sovereignly chooses and blesses some, but not others. However, throughout these chapters, Paul also emphasizes that human choices are involved in each situation. These are two sides of the same reality that seem to contradict each other. Many people hear the gospel and reject it, just as Pharaoh rejected God's message through Moses. God hardens some people and shows mercy to others. Many people choose to reject God, but he has mercy on everyone who believes the gospel. However, Paul does not explain how these fit together. We cannot explain or reconcile them with human logic, but we can accept them and believe them by faith. Now let's look at verses 19 through 21. Verse 19. One of you will say to me, "Well, then why does God still find fault? Who can resist his will?" Verse 20. "But who are you, O man, to talk back to God? Shall what is formed say to him who formed it, 'Why did you make me like this?'" Verse 21. "Does not the potter have the right to make from the same lump of clay one vessel for special occasions and another for common use?" This is the meditation question. Why are we in no position to accuse God or to question why he made us like we are? I think that in verses 19 through 21, Paul expresses the heart and main point of what he is trying to say. Paul exposed a deep problem in the heart of mankind that makes it very hard for many people to honor and trust God. In verse 19, Paul raised an argument he knew people would bring up. If God hardens some and not others, chooses some but not others, why does God still find fault? Who can resist his will? In other words, why does God blame us if he makes us like this? Paul retorted, "Who are you to talk back to God? Shall what is formed say to him who formed it, 'Why did you make me like this?' Who are we puny human beings to question God's authority, God's plans, or God's decisions?" It says in Proverbs 19:10 that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. There is no true wisdom or understanding that is not founded on honoring God as God. Wisdom comes from him alone. Human pride is so strong that people are willing to challenge God himself if he does not fit into their logic box. This is foolishness. Who are we to shake our fist at God and accuse him of being unfair or unjust? This mindset and attitude are rebellion against God of the worst kind. Human reasoning that is not afraid to deny and dishonor God does not answer any of our questions. The answers are found in acknowledging the mystery and majesty of God's love and sovereignty. Through human wisdom, I cannot reconcile election and free will, but I believe them. God is sovereign, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Faith accepts this in reverent humility. We bow to our Creator, Lord, and Redeemer, knowing that his ways are righteous, even if I cannot explain them. Paul asks, "Does not the potter have the right to make from the same lump of clay one vessel for special occasions and another for common use?" The potter is God. We have no right to say to God, "Why did you make me like this?" We are just lumps of clay. He can use us for his purposes in any way he wants to. When I was young, we sang a song in church that touched me very deeply. The words are as follows. "Have thine own way, Lord. Thou art the potter. Thou art the potter, and I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still." If we want God to use us, we must be soft clay in the hands of our Master, Our identity, value, meaning, and self-worth are not found in things, success, possessions, or self-actualization, but only in full surrender and submission to our sovereign Lord, Savior, and King. Let's pray. Father, reveal to us the greatness of your love and mercy. We want to be soft clay in your hands to do whatever you wish to do in our lives. You are the potter and we are the clay. Mold us and make us after your will. We bow before you now, yielded and still.